What time it is, we can let down our hair, the moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep in the safe harbor. It's dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy going to give you something to drink now. That's right. In the studio with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor, we have investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. And we are about to dig into some wacky, crazy stuff. How wacky and crazy are things at Wright's Coin Shop, Shelley Wright?
Very, very wacky and crazy.
I'm just not believing that. Come on.
It has been.
Say it a little bit more enthusiastically. Why has it been crazy and wacky?
It's just
at Wright's Coin Shop.
We have been buying and selling like crazy. I can't even keep up with what we have to buy and sell.
I have this impression, like you walk in there, there are clowns, there are donkeys, there are little people, there are jugglers. What's happening?
Well, I guess you're just gonna have to come in and see me, aren't you? No, we have, I get in there and I have just this enormous amount of stuff that we have to put out. Michael just rearranged the shop today because we're running out of room to put everything.
And, you know, it's funny, you watch, well, like I've got Dish Network at my house. And there are probably like, I don't know, half a dozen of these infomercial channels that are trying to sell coins.
Right.
Gold, silver, collectors this, collectors that. What makes you guys different? Why should somebody contact you if they are interested in buying stuff as opposed to calling some 800 number and ordering up something off of the infomercial?
Why should somebody come and see me rather than call up some nameless, faceless place where you don't have any kind of personal relationship and where if something happens or if you need to sell it that you... You can't call them and sell it back to them, but you can to us. We're here. We've been here. We're local. We're part of your life. And we can tell you, okay, in your situation, this is what you need to do. And, you know, we have this relationship with people. I mean, we have people's grandchildren coming to us now.
How many years have you been in business there?
It's been...
Approximately. What, 40 years?
Like, close to 40 years, yeah. 38, 30, maybe October's 39 years.
And someone can just call you if a person is not local. And
right.
He or she just wants to call and see what can be done
right.
for that person.
Exactly.
What's the phone number there?
The phone number is 828-298-5402.
828-298-5402.
Yes.
For those who are lucky enough to live in our area, where is your shop located?
We are at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. Sweeten Creek Road is also known as US 25A.
Right off of Interstate 40.
Yes, yes. Exit 51 off of I-40.
Okay. Again, if there's any doubt, call Shelley 828-298-5402. And we are going to get the Wright's Coin Shop website up and running here
yes,
very soon.
Yes, yes. Oh, and by the way, we don't work on commission. So, you know, I don't have any incentive to lie to you about anything, you know.
That is true. See, that's why Shelley should hire me as her agent to renegotiate the family contract. I think you should get a commission.
Thank you.
Because you would be super rich if you had a commission. But for now, the savings are passed down to the individual.
Exactly.
And you know, it's honestly, I get all my coins and gold and silver from Wright's Coin Shop. I know you do, Forrest.
I do, too.
So, you know, we wouldn't steer you wrong.
I visit her every now and then, Mr. Warren.
Yes.
I know.
Yes, he does.
You're the guy in the white van.
And the kitties.
Yeah. So let's dig into some Dark 30 material. Here is one from, let's just cut right to the chase. Let's just start in Florida tonight, shall we? This is a story from Port Lucie, Florida. Apparently, a woman was in her bedroom about to become intimate with her her boyfriend. So, and this is from the Huffington Post. So she asked her boyfriend to go into the kitchen and bring back some lubricants. Okay, so he returned back to the room, and the woman asked him if he had brought, she kind of jokingly asked him if he brought the Pam, you know, the cooking spray. And he misunderstood what she had said and admitted that he had recently been with a girl named Pam.
Ooh. Ooh.
On a boat. The woman allegedly flew into a violent rage, punching her boyfriend repeatedly, and then chucking an olive oil bottle, a cup, and a flashlight at his head. She was arrested on a domestic battery charge and taken to jail. He just went home. So, guys, if your lady brings up Pam, don't jump to the girlfriend Pam conclusion. How's that for a kickoff to Florida and the Dark 30 Hour?
Didn't we have a bell that we were supposed to ring every time we had a Florida story?
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Thanks for reminding me. There was a Florida bell. We have so many Florida stories. You got to help me remember. We're just getting this new theme started because it looks like the bell's going to stay here in the studio for a while. Don't know where it comes from, mysterious bell, but we'll make use of it while it's here.
Florida bell.
For us, it's the Florida bell. No pun intended. Now let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, I said this earlier, but you know, this is the show that it explores the summit of humans' enlightenment and the pit of mankind's depravity. We're in the dark depravity part now. Cincinnati, Ohio. Headline from smokinggun.com is perverted perpetrator again busted for getting it on with teddy bear. Okay, and I'm revising it a little bit. For the fourth time in the past 2 years, a Cincinnati man has been arrested for being in public with a teddy bear. And, doing things with it. I think you can imagine what he was doing. It says that he was arrested again recently after somebody spotted him in an alley. At least he's in an alley. He's not like on the island in the middle of a four-way interstate here. He's been convicted already three times of engaging in public indecency and disorderly conduct with a teddy bear. And he has already had some short jail sentences and small fines. At one point, he was with a teddy bear in the men's bathroom, a public bathroom. It's unclear whether cops this week seized the teddy bear. They say if so, people should look for him at the local Toys R Us. Okay. We just read it. We don't explain it. We have no idea. We're not psychologists, psychiatrists here. Here's a story from Murdoch, Florida. Hey, how about that? We've already got two Florida stories and the first segment of the Dark 30 Hour. A man in Murdoch, Florida is in trouble
because he was told he could not take his kitten into a strip club. Now, I've never heard of, I mean, I know that there are a million jokes that we could make at this point, but it's too easy. We won't go there. But this guy wanted to go into the strip club with a live kitten. And the people at the strip club told him, you can't bring a kitten in here. So the guy sat down outside the business and repeatedly called 911 to complain that the strip club would not let him take his kitty inside. They said it appeared he was intoxicated. Okay, at least that's some good news. You'd hate to think a totally sober person would do this. Deputies told him to stop calling, but he continued calling. And so, you know, they said the guy had to be forcibly restrained and placed under arrest, booked into the jail on charges of misuse of the 911 system, disorderly intoxication, trespassing after warning and resisting arrest without violence, held on a $4,000 bond, and animal control was called to pick up the kitten, now safe and sound. You're a kitten lover, Shelley.
I'm a kitten lover.
Do you think guys should be allowed to bring their own kitties into the strip club?
No, I really don't. And, you know, I don't understand why somebody at the strip club or somebody didn't take his phone away from him and perhaps pitch it into the river.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Okay, next story. Warwick, Rhode Island. This is a Walmart story. Those are always fun. Apparently, let's see here. Pretty down, you know, I mean, this is pretty tame for us. Just a streaker on aisle three. A man running naked through the Walmart store at the Rhode Island Mall, then swam across a river next to the mall's parking lot, and was captured there after running back and forth across the northbound and southbound lanes of Route 295. It took place about 6.05 p.m. Police arrived and, you know, they carried him off. You know, I have a friend who used to work at Walmart, and he said that the craziest stuff happens there that you never hear about in the news, and a lot of it happens in the spark plug section.
I remember your story about that.
I don't know why. Again, I can't explain.
Spark plugs are sexy to some people.
Avoid the spark plug section. When we come back, we'll talk about the problems with toilets. What happened on a Florida highway? Gosh, okay, I got a lot of Florida stories tonight. What is this one? Oh, man. Look, just stick around. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. There's some song about forgetting yourself for a while. And the piano's this melancholy soundtrack to her smile.
Honey, I hangs like a dead man from a white oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night. It's a dark night. Dark night. It's a dark night. Strangers moving in.
Yes, a dark 30 hour on Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And basically, you know, this is when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial news. Stuff that's more offensive. I mean, it's late at night. It's not for the kiddies. If you're easily offended, if you don't want to hear the most outrageous stuff happening in the world, just turn off the radio. Come back next hour, where things will be probably, ironically, more tame. but it is a duty to bring this to you. And the show is brought to you in large part by the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a solar generator my team and I created. Go to sunshinesimple.com to watch the free demo of the Sunshine Simple generator. And we are announcing right here on the show the debut of the Sunshine Simple Junior. For those who want something even lighter, maybe they want something that costs less, it's 400 watts and weighs less than 50 pounds. Perfect for, say, like a camping environment, just for your lighting, your computer, you know, your laptop, TV systems, charging your phone. It can even be put in an EMP-resistant casing. It's got a nice little 80-watt panel there, 2 feet by 4 feet. So you can charge this thing up with the sun, and it puts out 400 watts for you. I'm not sure if we have that up yet or not, but, you know, if not, that's fine. You know, you just tell us you're interested in either the Sunshine Simple or the Sunshine Simple Junior. This next story is about European bathrooms. And, you know, it's funny. This really has no relationship, but this is something that I thought about when we were doing our spiel, I guess, especially maybe like last week's show. Shelley, you and I were talking about our experiences in Romania. I remember one night we went into a hotel room. I think it was there in Hunedoara. And I don't think I told this on the radio, but Lauren, she was frustrated by the fact that often in Europe, rooms don't have proficient air conditioning. And so she was hot in the room and saw that you could request for a fan to be brought to your room, according to the material in the guidebook. So she called the front desk. And she asked for a fan, and they said, and of course they're speaking in broken English, look in the bathroom, and they were basically directing her to look for the hairdryer.
Oh.
And she was describing, like, no, you know, I want, and they just couldn't understand what she was talking about. So she was getting really frustrated and, like, flipping out because, you know, she gets irritable when she's hot. And so I looked up the word fan in Romanian. And in fact, for me to get online, I had to sit on the toilet in a very particular place to get a signal. It's the darndest thing. But I got a signal and I looked up the word fan and it said ventilator. So Lauren called the front desk, asked for a ventilator. Within 5 minutes, boom, they had a nice big fan in our room. So, if you ever go to Romania and you want a fan, ask for a ventilator. They don't know what you're talking about if you ask for a fan. The closest thing they could come up with was a hairdryer.
That is totally not where I thought that whole story was going.
Yeah, it could have gone in so many directions. Well, we've talked about how nasty the bathrooms are in Europe.
Yeah, well, some of them weren't so bad. I mean, really.
Like public bathrooms, but
some of them weren't too bad.
Really?
I will say that I was quite disappointed with the bathroom at the palace.
Oh, I see. I didn't go to that bathroom.
Yeah. It was one of those where you had to bring your own tissue with you and hover. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very bad situation.
So you don't usually hover.
No.
Hmm.
No.
Interesting. I've felt that probably more women than not would hover.
Why hover when you can put down some paper and sit? Hmm. Yes. Although, I have known hoverers. Yes.
It's my understanding that a law has been passed, and from now on, when urinals are built in the U.S., there has to be almost like 2 feet between each urinal to give the man, you know, proper privacy. I don't even know if that's proper, but...
You know, I don't understand that. A man will go to a urinal. He will stand shoulder to shoulder, okay? But
well,
you think it's weird. But you think it's strange when women go to the bathroom together.
Well, I don't like standing shoulder to shoulder with men.
No, there's proper etiquette in there.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's one stall here, there's a space between you and the other person. There's always got to be a space. Otherwise, you wait.
Well, that's how it should be, but, you know, you go into, like, an airport bathroom, everybody's in a hurry, and they're packing out like sardines.
There's exceptions to the rules.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in men's bathrooms, it seems like there's always exposed flesh. Women's bathrooms, it's not like that at all.
Exposed flesh?
Yes.
I think you're envisioning things a little bit differently than
I don't think so. I don't think so.
There's not a lot of exposed flesh in the urinal.
There doesn't seem to be very much privacy in there.
No, there should be more privacy, but I have what they call a shy bladder. I don't like being right next to another man when I'm relaxing, you know. But this issue of bathroom quality in Europe has reached a new stage in Sweden. Right now, members of a political party in Sweden have said that they want to pass some type of a motion requiring toilets reserved for stand-up urination to be labeled, specified, and cordoned, and if you're not at one of those, you have to sit down to urinate. So if you don't go to a stand-up urinal, you got to sit down. This is for men, of course. They are saying that a sit-down urination is more hygienic and reduces the risk of bathroom users having to negotiate their way around puddles and whatnot en route to the toilet. And so this has, you know, medical benefits. They're talking about, like, literally applying this to medical benefits. And so it's something that's on the agenda.
Really? They have to have a law?
Yeah.
That's really?
That's what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is in a Swedish county council. So it's like, if you're going to stand up, you do this here. If you're not, toilet, you sit down.
How about if you miss, clean it up?
Well.
What's so hard about that?
They're obviously not going to do that.
Really?
These are politicians. They don't care. They like to mark their territory anyway. Mm. All right. So there's our international report on urinals and toilet use. Let's see. Story from Ocala, Florida. Let's see here. Drivers pulled illegal U-turns to catch a glimpse of a woman standing in the middle of Highway 484 in Ocala, Florida. Says that she had been slowing traffic for more than 30 minutes. That's because this woman, she just basically undressed and was standing in the middle of the road doing something to herself that women are not supposed to do in the middle of the road. If I saw that, I would... I would veer around it, and I'd probably look in the rearview mirror a couple times. I don't think I would, you know, do a bootlegger's turn and, you know, whip around to go back for two or three additionals. But according to the Huffington Post, that's what happened in Ocala, Florida. Isn't that weird? Next story. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. It's another Florida story. Surprisingly similar. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, the Dark 30 Hour. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, and I am Joshua P. Warren, again, this is the time, this is our warning, when we read more of the outrageous, controversial news, twisted stuff, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, turn off the radio if you have a sensitive situation on your hands, but these are what we believe to be real news stories that we're passing along to you, and keep in mind, if you haven't seen what it's all about yet, go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. And look at the Wishing Machine radionics box. There's a little video there that tells you what the Wishing Machine is all about. It's far too complex to try to describe here on the radio, but just go there. You'll see a little video with me. I'm talking about it. There's a rundown of what it is and how it works, and you'll see why that we've sold them all over the world. Again, the Wishing Machine Radionic Box, joshuapwarren.com. Before the break, I gave it one of these. Port St. Lucie, Florida. Again, it's one of these, it's almost mundane now. A neighbor caught an eyeful while looking outside of her window. She saw a man walking, quote, walking back and forth, doing something, you know, to himself, in the driveway, in the front yard, in between the trucks. Says, quote, he was working hard at it. That's what the neighbor told the cops, according to an arrest affidavit. When cops arrived and knocked on the front door, they reportedly noted a, quote, unknown clear liquid substance, end quote, on the door's knob. And it may be that this was alcohol. It may be that this was some drug. Who knows? Who knows what this guy was up to? You know, there was a guy who was running around Asheville naked the other day. Did you hear that in the news, Shelley?
No, I didn't hear that.
Really?
Where?
Was Ukiah Morrison back in town?
You didn't hear it either, Forrest?
No. Well, you know, really? He wore the loincloth.
Well, you know, it could be. See, here's what's creepy. Yeah, there was a guy who was running around butt naked in the middle of Montford Avenue late at night. And he seemed a little out of his mind. So the cops came and they arrested him. Now, ordinarily, if you see a man running around naked in the middle of the street at night, you might not feel, you know, so frightened. You might say, oh, this is just a crazy, stupid drunk. But then you have to reflect on the guy in Miami who was running around naked, who apparently was a zombie, who ends up jumping on a guy and eating his face off. So now, you know, it's like late at night. If you see somebody, or any time of the day, really, if you see a man running around naked who looks a little out of it, you should run as fast as possible away and call the cops, because this could be a zombie. Apparently, in the real world, this is how zombies work. They're men who get naked, and then they jump on you and eat you. They eat your face.
All these new rules.
Yeah, that's right. from the UK. You might remember this. We read a story a couple years ago, if that long ago, about a woman whose breast exploded. You remember this story?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, she said that she went into the shower, and she had had breast implants. And while she was in the shower, breast, boom, explodes.
Ow.
Yeah. And so she has now, they say, turned around and successfully sued over this. And she has been compensated something, I think I saw it in here somewhere. I mean, it's a lot of money.
I mean, you don't mean like exploded. I mean, you just mean like she leaked, right? I mean...
I'm not sure the extent of the explosion.
Because, you know, the mental images here.
Yeah, it says exploded. So,
ooh.
I don't know. I mean, I doubt it was like a fire, like an M80 just... But, considering the 4th of July is coming up...
Ugh.
Well, look, basically, I don't know. I was thinking somewhere I saw that she got like... Okay, here we go. They say it's at least a five-figure compensation. But she went to Tunisia for her surgery. And I don't know anything about Tunisia. Do you know anything about Tunisia?
I don't know anything about Tunisia. I just definitely would not have any kind of surgery done there.
Hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. All right, let's move on here to San Diego, California. Again, 4th of July is on the way.
Oh.
man. Woman watching amateur rocket show takes a missile to her behind and suffers severe burns. That's the headline here. This woman went to the Mojave Desert to attend the annual, quote, Large and Dangerous Rocket Ships Festival near Barstow, California.
We were somewhere outside Barstow when the drugs began to kick in.
Bad country.
Looking for a fun vacation and lasting memories, not permanent scars. Instead, the 21-year-old biotech grad from Seattle, Washington, said she was burned when a high-powered rocket ignited. Let's see here. They say this rocket had five engines capable of producing a combined thrust of 25,000 to 30,000 newtons. I don't know how much that is exactly.
Why would you get... She put this thing...
No. Says that she sat on an ATV that was parked about 30 or 40 feet from the rocket, and that group members lowered the rocket from its vertical launch position to a more horizontal one, allegedly so it could be placed lower on a launch rod and make a bigger crater during... takeoff, okay?
Hmm.
20 to 30 seconds later...
It made a bigger crater.
It did hit a crater, and it made a bigger crater. And onlookers were screaming, gawking. People were shooting photos as she was stripping off her clothes. People were cutting away her clothes. Which, of course, was added humiliation to humiliation.
Oh.
And so, you know, right now people in the legal departments here are saying it's appalling that you have a group of individuals who are playing with dynamite, no safety precautions, and who in their right mind would lower a rocket and point it in the direction of a young woman, blah, blah,
now,
blah.
Now, how many newtons did it say it was?
25,000 to 30,000 newtons.
Okay, there's about... 4.5 newtons, 1 pound of force is about 4.5 newtons.
4.5?
Yes.
Wow. So this could have impaled her.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if it, I mean, it's probably a miracle it didn't impale her.
Right.
Just like Vlad would do. Just, okay. Next we have a story from Georgia. Let's see here. A Georgia woman has been awarded $3 million by a jury because of her husband's heart attack. The jury gave the award after finding that her husband's doctor should have given him a warning that strenuous activity, such as the group act he was participating in when he died, could have devastating consequences. He was a police officer, by the way. So here's what I'm reading here, okay? A police officer and another guy, apparently, were participating in an activity with a woman that was not his wife. They were at an Atlanta airport motel. But in the midst of this, the police officer had a heart attack and died. And so the family attorney said, hey, look, yes, this type of activity is not appropriate for our community, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is, this man could have died running on the treadmill or running after a criminal. So the jury, amazingly enough, found the doctor guilty of medical negligence, but also ruled the officer should take responsibility for 40% of his own death. So they reduced the award from $5 million to $3 million. So this woman got $3 million because her husband was engaged in a three-way activity with another woman, had a heart attack, and died. Now, to me, that sounds like a great ploy for some woman to incorporate out there if she knows that her husband has a heart condition and he also has a bit of a hobby on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even send out the invitations. Okay, my goodness. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be in the final minutes of the Dark 30 Hour. I have a couple stories for you from New York. And then the last one is one of those that made me cringe. One of those that I would have read if I weren't out of town. But I'm back, so I'll read it best I can now. From Tokyo. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, and this is the hour when we dig into the darkest of the dark. It's the Dark 30 Hour. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, we're in the final minutes of tonight's program, and we're glad that you've chosen to spend your evening with us tonight. Keep in mind, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find our Facebook page, links to all kinds of goodies. It's being updated all throughout the week with various news stories, and this is the hour when we talk about the more outrageous and controversial stuff. Turn the radio off if there are children around or if there is someone who might be easily offended. It's late at night, and that's why we choose this time to read you these news stories that are a little more out there, but we're not making them up. I can assure you of that, and if you have any doubt of that, you can just go to the Speaking of Strange Facebook page, and you will see these stories for yourself. Here is one from Staten Island, New York. A woman and her male accomplice were caught shoplifting from a Costco. According to the report, security guards approached the woman in the parking lot after noticing she was walking awkwardly. You know where this is going, don't you, Shelley, right?
I believe I do.
Apparently, they, you know, they got the cops involved, and the woman was, she was stripped down. And apparently, this woman had packed into herself a wide, as they say, a wide range of items. $5,000 worth of missing polo shirts.
Oh.
Chicken, pork chops.
Oh, my God. Who's going to eat that stuff? Oh.
DVDs. And, yes, prawns.
Oh, God.
Now, this is what I would call a professional. This is a pro right here.
I would say so.
This is somebody who's been training for years, working her way up to this point. I mean, what we call a clown car, basically.
Yes.
On this program. A miracle of the human elasticity.
Oh, God.
This is incredible that a human body could smuggle that amount of stuff. And but, you know, it's funny, that was from Staten Island, New York. Here we have this other one from Albany, New York. Similar. A woman here is beginning a six-month sentence for a probation violation after she allegedly filled a, something like a prophylactic with 256 prescription pills, four bags of heroin, and other things. And, you know, it says that basically if this woman's container had broken, she would have died from having all this stuff inside of her. The surveillance video shows that when she tried to adjust like herself, there were just pills and stuff falling out all over the floor. And so, you know, this woman, she's been charged with all kinds of criminal possession of a controlled substance, felony promotion of prison contraband, blah, blah, blah. But when you read stories like this, it ticks you off because this means that the cops are going to have even more of a reason to do the old cavity searches when they pull over people like you or me for, I don't know, a speeding violation. I don't know. But, I mean, it's because there are people out there who can stuff incredible things inside their body like that.
I can't. Let's just get that out in the open so nobody ever pulls me over. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay?
You're going on the record.
I'm going on the record.
You're incapable of being a smuggler of this sort.
Yes, I am incapable.
Okay. Well, I am too.
Yeah.
If we're going on the record here. Okay, last story of the night. Again, this is one that I think this kind of went down when I was out of town, but I just couldn't believe it, and I still can't believe it. A chef in Tokyo, he needed to raise a lot of money so that he could get changed from a man into a woman. And so he decided to hold a banquet, and he had his male parts cut off and properly prepared and served to the diners at the banquet for $250 a plate. And this raised the money. I mean, the procedure had been done, but I guess on the back end, this paid for his surgery that he would serve his parts to these weirdo Tokyo people who were willing to eat them to fund his surgery. I swear, I don't make it up, guys. Go look it up for yourself. That's going to do it for this edition of the program. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, and Mobius. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter, and tune in next week for a brand new one. If you dare, you are commanded.
Yeah, you call it on, on.